if you're looking for positive glimmers, and I'm kind of in the boat of any day, any way, I see something positive come my way, sports related, non-sports related, you take it. You run with it. You kind of entertain your mind in that way because I think we're all like searching for that good news. I know we're all searching in some ways for that like proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. And it's not there quite yet. Hopefully better days are ahead. But I think you got some encouraging news if you're holding out hope that there's going to be an NBA postseason this year. And I'll admit, because of the loss for me of the NCAA tournament, that was like the shell shock of all shell shocks for my basketball system. I would currently rate the return of the baseball season as a bigger priority if we're talking sports. But that's it. I mean, listen, I want anything at this point. I mean, when the PGA comes back in a couple weeks, I'm going to be into it. I know for some of you, you dove in last Saturday to UFC. I, for one, did not. I was asked by our friends, Jared Smith, who came on the show, last week? I went on with he and Ariel Epstein on Sports Grid. They were asking me, they're like, did you get into any of the UFC? Did you dive into the UFC in any way? And I was like, nah, not for me. Pass on that. To each his own. To each her own. What can I tell you? Saturday, I felt it was more entertaining to sit there on the couch and watch A Few Good Men, which, by the way, is such a fantastic movie, than it would be spending my time watching the UFC. But again, some of you guys and gals might get into that. But if we get basketball, or hockey, or baseball, any of these three sports back, I mean, it's all systems go. I mean, I am going to be as dialed in as maybe I've ever been before. And that's telling you something because I feel like I'm pretty dialed in. But you got encouraging news from the NBA because the NBA has kind of been the sport in which I think many have questioned feasibility. Many have questioned because of the amount of positive tests that the league ran into back in March and April. The practicality of getting this sport back up and running. In order for that to happen, yes, you need the medical people telling you it can be done. Yes, you need your owners and your players association heads and your power players very much lock in step. That's true. But the NBA may be more than any of the other sports is such a star-driven league. Think about it. Who runs the league? LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, the bigwigs, the power players. This is not shocking news to anyone. If you know anything about the NBA, this has been the case for years. It's continued into the new millennium. And yeah, the power players of the NBA are their stars and their star players. That's why in any sort of plan to get the game back and to finish out a postseason tournament, you got to have the best of the best backing that idea of a return. And what you found out on Tuesday is that the big wigs of the league, LeBron, Giannis, even though he wouldn't be playing in the postseason, Stephen Curry, Kawhi Leonard, all were involved in a private conference call discussing how important it is to all of them that the games resume. Some may be surprised by that. I'm not. I'm not in the least. Because we think about all of these unbelievable talents. Postseason time rolls around. There's a whole lot on the line. I mean, you're talking about legacies changing. You're talking about legacies being enhanced. You're talking about the idea of changing the perception of what people may think about a given NBA player. Those guys are very, very aware of that. LeBron James is smart enough to realize that, yes, right now we are in a very serious and a very tough situation when it comes to restarting the NBA. And his tune on COVID-19 has changed dramatically from there's no way in the world I'm playing in the stands with nobody there. No chance am I playing in the Staples Center in front of nobody. Then you learn about this virus. You see everything that has taken place since mid-March. And yeah, the tune is going to drastically change. However, think about LeBron James and his career. He's won an NBA championship 3 times. 2 in Miami with Dwayne Wade. 2016, his crowning achievement in the league. Down 3-1. Beating the 73-win Golden State Warrior team and validating the promise that was necessary for him, which was, of course, delivering a championship to the city of Cleveland. LeBron James would have never lived it down if he went back to Cleveland and did not deliver a championship. It now allowed him to kind of pursue his final act out in Los Angeles, where, yeah, he's got a damn good team, but he could think about his Space Jam 2. He could think about Bronny Jr. He could think about his Hollywood productions. LeBron's got his hands in many, many cookie jars. But he's also very mindful of that legacy and the perception around him. He wants to be remembered as one of, if not the greatest player to ever play. Now, there's nothing LeBron James can do in the rest of his career, as dominant a force as he has been, that's going to catapult him over Michael Jordan in my eyes. It's just not. But when I'm having that conversation, the best I've ever seen, it's a very simple answer for me. Michael's one, LeBron is two. And adding to that legacy and being a guy who now wins championships in 3 different cities, heck yeah, it would matter a lot to me. Yes, I would want to get back on the court. Especially when, mind you, I may have the best team in the league. So I'm sure for LeBron and for Giannis, Milwaukee, and for Kawhi, now as a Los Angeles Clipper, these guys are in the primes of their careers. Now, LeBron may be at the back end of that prime, but it's a prime that seems in many ways everlasting and never ending. Push comes to shove. You want to get back on the court. Now, obviously, there are safety issues that are going to arise. Baseball is going through that as they had their discussions with the Players Association early in the day. Very hush-hush as far as what was going on. More about the safety element with baseball than it was the idea of discussing the financials and some of the holdups and some of the questions that we have had about that sport getting back up and running. But when you got these big power players talking about the idea of we want to come back, it shoots down one of the narratives we heard earlier in the week that basically the Players Association is, you know, asking its guys, do you want to come back? Do you not want to come back? Make no mistake, the voices of guys like LeBron and Giannis and Kawhi, they are going to matter, in my opinion, a heck of a lot more than a lot of the voices on guys who are playing for non-playoff teams, where it's like, listen, maybe we come back and we don't play any regular season games. And if the NBA is smart, they would ditch the idea of coming back in the regular season anyway. Let you guys scrimmage. Let them play exhibition games for a week, 2 weeks. Have them play somebody that they're not going to play in the postseason. Maybe make them face off with like an Eastern Conference team. Can they do that? I don't know. If they're in a bubble city, it's easy to do. We say, all right, top East team, you play in the 8th seed in the West. Boom, go play. 2nd seed in the West. Boom, you play in the 7th seed in the East. Because then odds are you're not going to play that team. You play a couple of scrimmages. You get yourself to the best of your ability in game shape. And then a week rolls around. Hopefully no problems, no issues. And you go about your business. And you go about finishing a season. But I think if you're an NBA fan, knowing what's on the line for LeBron and Kawhi and Giannis and the Rockets players and James Harden and Russell Westbrook, we all would like to see this NBA season find a way to finish up. Now, does that mean they start the postseason in July? Maybe. I heard Brian Windhorst bring up the idea that they would do a training camp-like period in July, play the postseason in August, and go right into the next season. I mean, that sounds a little wacky, but I'm open for anything at this point. You guys know that. I am not going to be one to just thoroughly trash and destroy any plan to return to action, because I think we're all searching for that return to action in any which way. So I was very encouraged and very happy, quite frankly, to hear the NBA slowly but surely maybe starting to put those wheels in motion. And I guess you'll find out soon enough what that potential plan could look like, because we're now in the middle of May. I don't know what the quote-unquote drop-dead date would be. I don't think anybody really knows what the NBA and any of these sports leagues are thinking. You figure by the end of the month, right? By the time you hit next mid-June, so I'm not the end of May, but like a month from now, if you don't have a sense for what the NBA is going to do, that's a big, big problem. Big, big problem. Now, you got that somewhat encouraging news with the NBA. Hopefully you take it, you run with it, and hope there are brighter days ahead. What we are going to do today, though, when it comes to a trip down memory lane, I think you guys are going to like this. Yesterday, we paid tribute to our favorite baseball players who didn't play for our favorite team. So I couldn't give out any Yankees. For some of you, you couldn't give out any Mets. And the list of players we got was absolutely stupendous. I gave you guys Tony Gwynn and Ichiro. Some of you guys were on the same page with a couple of those names. I mean, we heard the likes of George Brett. We heard the likes of Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds. On and on we go. So what we are going to do today, and I felt we needed to like split this up into individual categories, because if we open it up to like all sports, boom, it might be a little overwhelming. But here's how we're shaking this out. So I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert. I'm going to give you a little insider info for not only today's show, but I'm going to give you some insider info for tomorrow's show. So for today, let's make sure we get this right. We're going to go through our favorite non-pro football, college football athletes who didn't play for your team. So you guys who are Jet or Giant fans, you're probably going to throw those guys right out the window. College football, I can't give you Donovan McNabb in a college sense as a Cuse guy. But tomorrow is when we dive into the NBA and the NHL and college basketball for that matter. And that'll be an interesting list for me to try to come up with some of my favorite college basketball players over the years who were not wearing a Syracuse Orange jersey. I got a few. Don't worry. I got a few. But with the NFL, to start this off, it's such an easy place for me to start this off. Because I grew up, as you guys know, a fan of Dan Marino, a diehard Miami Dolphins fan. And Marino, Sunday after Sunday, was must watch. When he retired, obviously, I wasn't giving up my Dolphin roots, but you know, you're searching for who that next quarterback will be that kind of has that sort of gravitas, that has that sort of impact where it's like, wow, this guy's playing on Monday night. This guy's playing in a primetime game. We got to stop what we're doing. Sunday ticket when your team is on bye. Local game becomes out of hand. This is the guy I want to watch. This is the guy I want to go see. That player for me became so apparent so quickly, so easily. And that, of course, would be the future Hall of Famer, the great Peyton Manning. I loved everything about Peyton Manning's game. I mean, what's not to like? Changing plays at the line of scrimmage, calling his own shots when it comes to the offense. honoring Johnny Unitas. Remember when he wore those high top black cleats? Incredible. And just being a guy who was the driving force in the Indianapolis Colts. Remember, the early years of Manning and Brady, from a statistical standpoint, they were not. Peyton Manning was blowing his numbers right out of the water. And you'd watch him light it up with Marvin Harrison or Reggie Wayne and Brandon Stokely, Edgerrin James in the backfield. I loved watching him play quarterback. And there were plenty of years for Peyton Manning where, you know what? He saw the short end of the stick in the postseason. Whether it was in Foxborough against the Pats, whether it was that epic Steeler game in the divisional round when they were a number one seed. But to kind of watch Peyton Manning go through that postseason run in which he takes down KC, he takes down the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore, and then down 21-3 has his signature moment in the league, coming back against Brady, coming back against the Patriots and going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, when I think of my favorite players in the league, not wearing Miami Dolphin uniforms, this is such an easy place for me to start. Peyton Manning, hands down. Had swag about him, had charisma about him, was as smart as it gets, and was damn good. So for me, folks, to get this ball rolling, when you're thinking about your favorite quarterback or your favorite player not wearing your team, I shouldn't even say quarterback. It's not doing it justice. It's typecasting a little bit. Very curious to see where you guys take this. But not just with the NFL. We also have college football to get to. So I'm going to start with a couple NFL guys, but I am going to mix in some college football players. And I'll admit, one guy, and I might have slipped here in the monologue and might have gave you a hint. It's one of my other favorite quarterbacks in the league. And maybe it started with the connection to my alma mater. And I know some of you Giant fans aren't going to like this, but when I think about one of my favorite players to watch in the league, not wearing a Dolphin uniform, it's one that a Giant fan may actually detest. It's the way it goes. It's the way the cookie crumbles.